This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, September 14th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Bans on neonics, grass watering, and driverless trucks pass. EPA Sackett concerns, and update on H2A working group. Neonic ban heads to Newsom with many other bills. The legislature has passed a bill that was recently amended to ban the use of neonicotinoids in lawns and gardens. Last year, Governor Newsom vetoed the same legislation by Assemblymember Rebecca Bauer-Kahan of Orinda, deferring to the regulatory process instead. Assemblymember Laura Friedman of Glendale was able to get a ban on the rodenticide diphosidone passed as well. Water. Friedman was also successful in getting one of two water bills out. AB 1572 would enact a ban on watering decorative grass. Sponsoring the bill is the powerful water supplier for Los Angeles, which has struggled to build a consensus on such a ban among its members. Friedman pulled a companion bill that would have replaced turf grass with native plants after forced amendments watered down the measure. Senator Melissa Hurtado of Bakersfield has pulled the measure, targeting hedge funds buying up water rights, though it could return in January. Labor. Lawmakers approved an expansion for paid sick leave by an additional 2 days. An amendment chopped it down from 5. The bill would also calculate the wage from a weekly pay average, meaning a farm worker could earn peak harvest pay while out sick for a week. California could set a ban on autonomous trucks with a bill that would require a driver in the seat. Senator Stephen Glaser of Orinda stood in opposition and asked his Democratic colleagues to put aside fears of the technology, which would make the world a better place. That bill passed. On climate, the second corporate climate accountability bill passed on Wednesday. SB 261 would require companies to report on their financial risk brought by climate change. According to Senator Henry Stern of Canoga Park, those risks could come in the form of threats to imported crops. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Lawmakers feel concern about H2A wage rates. Members of the International Fresh Produce Association got an update yesterday from Representatives Don Davis of North Carolina, a Democrat, and Rick Crawford, a Republican of Arkansas, that on the House Agriculture Committee's Farm Labor Working Group. The group has been assigned to look into challenges with the H2A program. Crawford says the group is 3 months into the six-month timeline with an interim report anticipated soon. The two most common issues the lawmakers have learned so far are the adverse effect wage rate and the inability to manage H2A worker applications online. Take note, Davis says the report will be, quote, an opportunity to elevate the issues with colleagues, even though the House Ag Committee does not have jurisdiction over the H2A program. California ports show falling emissions ahead of government restrictions. The ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach have each released new analysis for 2022 showing sharp emission reductions. Those reports come as the South Coast Air Quality Management District prepares to release new limits on air pollution for the ports that farm groups worry will force a reduction in trade capacity. This impressive reductions at the San Pedro Bay ports over the past two decades is the model success story involving the commitment, partnership, and resources of the port's tenants and industry partners. Jacqueline Moore, Vice President of the Pacific Merchant Shipping Association, said in a statement, analyzing both reports from Los Angeles and Long Beach, which are in San Pedro Bay, the Pacific Merchant Shipping Association said that together they show a 90% drop in diesel particulate emissions, a 63% drop in nitrogen oxides, and a 97% drop in sulfur oxides from 2005 until 2022. EPA official, ruling threatens ephemeral streams and wetlands. Well, more than half of the wetlands in the United States are threatened by the Supreme Court Sackett decision, an EPA water official said on a webinar yesterday. It is clear that the Supreme Court's decision erodes longstanding clean water protection, said Rose Kwok, an environmental scientist in the Office of Water. EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers plan to hold listening sessions this fall to discuss how to implement the Sackett decision. The agencies issued a rule August 29th to comply with the court's decision, which weakened protections for adjacent wetlands and removed the significant nexus test. Kwok also said 1.2 million to 4.9 million miles of ephemeral streams are threatened by the decision. Don't miss this. EPA has agreed to a deadline of May 2024 for addressing the impact of herbicides on endangered species. The agency also promised to finish a similar strategy for insecticides by early 2025. State ag officials seek more regional flexibility in disaster aid. State agriculture officials want more flexibility in federal disaster relief and conservation programs to better help producers in the wake of natural disasters and severe weather events. Members of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture approved an action item at their annual meeting yesterday calling for USDA and Congress to fill gaps in insurance coverage and federal disaster relief programs, noting, quote, that farmers need more than additional debt to recover from destroyed crops or loss of their livestock or annual income. Now, a second action item called for the USDA to, quote, implement regional or individual timelines and deadlines for conservation programs, particularly when it came to those focusing on disaster recovery. New Mexico Ag Secretary Jeff Witt, whose state is still recovering from last year's devastating wildfires, said policymakers should give state and county-level USDA officials more funding flexibility, which they can tailor to fit producers in the wake of specific natural disaster. I think it's really key that we empower those on the ground to address the concerns immediately, as opposed to being hung up by the process, he told AgriPulse. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, September 14th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.